And much of the challenge that we face day by day is just simply that. Do we believe God or do we not? Do we choose to believe God and choose life? Or do we choose to believe our senses? Do we choose to believe what the world says and receive death? Because that really is the choice. Right? And it's a very easy choice to make. That's why I think God's Word speaks of it in those cut and dry, black and white choices. In Romans 8 is what came to my mind that I really wanted to share with you this morning, because with God, there's nothing impossible. We have things that are impossible to us at times, but with God, nothing is impossible. And we need to continue to remind ourselves of that. We need to continue to remind ourselves what God has done for us. And that, again, it keeps us thankful every day of our lives, not just, you know, occasionally, but every day of our life, we're thankful for the things that God has provided for us and done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. If we're focused on those things, and we choose to believe those things, we will have life. We'll have life more than abundantly. Gesundheit. In chapter 8 of Romans, this is a tremendous encouragement. Verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." There's no condemnation. There's no more any cause for God to judge you, or for your neighbor to judge you, for anyone to judge you. See? Because there is in Christ no more condemnation. None. And it's because of what verse 2 says. The rest of verse 1 isn't in there. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." There are two laws as far as God's Word is concerned. Two laws. One is the law of sin and death. One is the law of life. The Spirit of life in Christ, that we have in Christ. It's a Spirit of life. This is the law that reigns in our life now, that rules our lives. It is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It is no longer based on our work. It is no longer based on our flesh. It is based solely and completely, totally, 110% on Christ. "It has made us free from the law of sin and death, for what the law could not do," verse 3, "in that it was weak through the flesh." The law had its shortcomings because it was requiring the flesh to perform it. And the flesh cannot perform it. You and I cannot do with our flesh all that we need to do to live life and live it more than abundantly. Can't. This law is weak because it requires the flesh to follow it. "God sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." He condemned it. He judged that sin and condemned it to have no more rule, no more authority, "that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The righteousness of the law is now fulfilled in us as we choose to walk. How? How do we conduct our lives? According to the Spirit. That Spirit of life which is in Christ Jesus. That's how we conduct ourselves. That's how we think of ourselves now, as being everything that we are because of what God has made us in Christ. We are His masterpiece. Masterpiece. His workmanship. It's God's masterpiece. God never worked anything that wasn't a masterpiece. Just look at the creation. It's a masterpiece. Every bit, everything in the creation is a masterpiece of creation, of God's handiwork. right down to the smallest single-celled organism, the simplest single-celled organism, when you look at it under a microscope, it is a masterpiece. And it strikes heart of man with great awe. Because even a single-celled organism. You know, I remember this when I was in high school. And the first time I looked under a microscope and saw an amoeba, thinking, wow, that's one cell. What about the other one? What was it? The protozoa. The protozoa. Yeah, the planaria worm, right? That cockeyed little thing. But man, what a masterpiece of God's creation. You know? You cut a V in its head between its eyes, and all of a sudden the next day it's got two heads going. Hey! What do you think of that one? Masterpiece. It's a masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. God's masterpiece. Not our own masterpiece. And when we rely upon what God has done for us and what God has made us, there is great deliverance in our lives. There is great victory day by day by day. We heard one of the kids out there in the fellowship, and she's not a kid, Aaron's wife, she shared a little bit, you know, I wanted people to share some testimonies that they were blessed with and what God was doing for them. And she said, you know, when I first met these guys, I thought, this is just crazy. This family, you know, the Schaefers, like Aaron and her family. It's like, because every time I came here, they would tell me about this victory that they had and that victory that they had and this victory. And it was like it's like a daily occurrence. Because she said, you know, I mean, in my life, it's like if I could think of one victory that I had, I was very happy. But now she knows that life is one victory after the next. One great healing, one great deliverance, one great answer to prayer, one great miracle after the next, one after the next for us who walk not after the flesh anymore. Because when we look at our flesh, when we review what we've been doing with our flesh, it fails to measure up. It cannot measure up. But yet when we look at what we have in Christ, we can begin to have great encouragement. We can begin to have great confidence that all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. All of them. Not just some of them. Some for you, some for you, some for you, some for you, but all. All the promises of God for you are yea and amen. Not because of your flesh, because your flesh will fall short. Because of your flesh, you may get one or two promises of God. Yeah, if that. But look. Look at how simple God has made it for us. To have great confidence in Him, not in ourselves. In Him and how He has enabled us. You know, He has enabled us so that when we speak His word, we can have every confidence that it's a done deal. That it will come to pass. When someone comes to you and tells you of their problems, you can look at them straight in the eye and say, God has a provision for you. God will provide an answer for you. He already has. Whether it be breast cancer, brain tumors, deafness in the ears, blindness in the eyes, or stupid infections in your eyelid. When you speak what the Word of God says is true, then you can have every confidence of it coming to pass. You can. You don't need to call 1,000 people and ask them to pray for you. I'm in favor of prayer. God says pray without ceasing. God says when two of you shall agree as touching anything, so, do I need to send an email blast? Oh, please pray for me. Because I know the more people pray. Wait a minute. Two All I need is one person to pray for me if I'm having a little trouble in my heart and believing. And yet, we get so caught up in this tradition that we make the promise of God of none effect. God says, two of you shall agree as touching, well, this thing or this thing or this thing, but not anything. I know that I may be sounding a little intense, but you know, hey, if that offends you, I'm sorry. I didn't write the book. I didn't make the promise. I didn't say that if two of you shall agree. God says it in His Word. His Son Jesus Christ didn't tell those guys to go out and pray together and then maybe they'd be able to do the works that He was doing. He said, just go do it. Just do it. You know, we have this truth. And as we conduct our lives according to that spirit of life which is in Christ Jesus, then we will see great things. Not before. Beforehand, God's saying, okay, waiting. I'm waiting. I'm here for you. So then, what does it say? Verse 5. As we conduct ourselves after the Spirit, not after the flesh, not according to the flesh, then for they that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. They have their understanding. They think, they feel all about the flesh. It's all about what their flesh is telling them, what their five senses is telling them. That's what those that are conducting themselves according to the flesh think in their brains. Those are the thoughts that are going on. So this is a very simple test. This is a very simple way to examine yourself whether you be in the faith, like one verse of Scripture encourages us. You know, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Well, how do I really examine myself? Does that mean I examine my flesh? No, because flesh profits nothing. Examine myself. Well, what am I thinking? That will show me how I'm conducting my life. Am I conducting myself walking according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? If I'm according to the flesh, then I'll be minding the things of the flesh. But they that are of the Spirit or after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They that walk after, conduct our lives according to the Spirit, then we will be thinking of those things. This is the renewed mind. This is easy. It's an easy test. Right? How do I know that I'm believing? How do I know that my heart is believing? What's coming out of my mouth? What am I focused on? The crummy economy? My idiot boss? Well, now, that's not to say that every boss is an idiot. I trust that people who have worked with me don't call me an idiot. But you may have an idiot for a boss. Idiotes. One who walks by his own steam all the time. But what's more important? What am I thinking about? That's a simple thing. So that's why it encourages us to control our thinking. Don't let it get out of bounds, but bring it back. Bring it back to everything, everything that you are in Christ. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Right? Obedience. Not only as we hear God's voice and are inspired by the Spirit of God within us, but as we look at His Word. We obey this word. We say, okay, I have a choice then, don't I? I can choose to live, conduct my life according to my flesh and what I can do for myself or according to Christ, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And the benefit is very stark. The difference in the benefits, right? Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death.
Ooh.
But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Wow. Life and peace. Not just a peaceful life, but life and peace. Life, more than abundant. Life and peace. Peace. Knowing that you don't have to be conflicted every day, but that you can be at peace with your position in Christ. That you are what God's Word says you are. You have what He says you have. You have the authority, the enablement, the abilities that God has said He has given to you. You have them. And all the rest of the things that we have in Christ. That's why it brings such life and peace to us. And that's a very simple choice, isn't it? What do you want? You want to be dead or you want to be alive? That's very helpful. What kind of a choice is that? My goodness. That's a no-brainer. Of course it is. But, and because, you know, this is because, verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's hostile towards God. The carnal mind, that brain that, you know, it's flesh, it's carnal, it's conducting itself according to the flesh. It's hostility toward God. It has a hostility towards Him and towards the things of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The law of what? The law of God. The law of God. Right? Can't be. You know, every time, it's like the Old Testament law. You know, you try and do the law, and what do you do? When somebody tells you, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. In order to be righteous before me, you have to do these things. What does your mind say? It says, I don't want to do all of that. Who can do all of that? There's that enmity. There's that conflict. There's that hostility. God, you know I can't do all of that. And then He says, but I've given you a much easier choice, a much simpler way to go about it, which is just believe what I've given to you in Christ. Believe that righteousness that you already have because of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Believe that. Conduct yourself according to that. Know that you are now a son, a daughter of the Most High God. Know that right now you're ascended and seated together with Him in the heavenlies, in a place of all authority. God's throne room. It's all authority. It's your seat is a seat of authority, seated with Him in the heavenlies. It's a much easier choice. It's a much more refreshing thing to run through your mind, isn't it? I think so. It's an easy thing, right? So then, that's why verse 8 says, well, it's enmity, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It just can't be subject to it. Can't do it. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's not pleasing, you know, in a righteousness sense, remember? Condemnation, righteousness, that's the context. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. There are many people in the Old Testament without the law of the Spirit of life in Christ that did very wonderfully pleasing God by just believing Him. But when it comes to righteousness and what we have in Christ, it's impossible. Can't do it with your flesh. Can't do it with anything but the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we conduct ourselves according to that. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh. You now are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If what? If you're thinking about it all the time? No. If the Spirit of God dwell in you, if it dwells in you, and it does dwell in us now. We know we have that Spirit of God in us, that Christ in us. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He's not His. He's just not God's. But we do have it. Right? And we looked at that during our class, right? We looked at the Spirit of God in this day in this age that we live is Christ in you. It's the Spirit of Christ. It is not the same Spirit that was in or upon Moses. It wasn't the same Spirit that was upon Elijah or Ezekiel or Daniel or any of the rest of the Old Testament believers. It is the Spirit of Christ. You know how we looked at that record, I know, during the class where in Moses' time, when he was befuddled, he just couldn't do it all, and God said, okay, get your 70 together. Get the best guys. The faithful. Get them together, the elders. And I will take of the Spirit that's upon you, and I'll divvy it up. I'll put it upon them. This is not the same as that. This is so much greater than that that we have. Because it's the Spirit of Christ. That which was in Christ is now in us. To a greater extent. Because it's completely enabled. Completely enabled to allow us, to enable us to pray perfectly by speaking in tongues. To do the works that Jesus Christ did. Gifts of healings, miracles, casting out devils. All these things that we've been enabled to do. And also, He has enabled us with the manifestation of faith. Whereby we have the ability, God has given us the ability to have complete confidence in Him. Just like Jesus Christ had in His Father, we now have. Resident within us. If ever you doubt that you're believing God, know that you have the manifestation of faith. And use it. We have no problem with speaking in tongues, do we? God, this person's on my mind. I don't know why. They've been on my mind for 10 days. Maybe I ought to pray for them. I don't know what to pray for, so what am I going to do? I can speak in tongues. I'm enabled now to pray perfectly. We're enabled to believe. God, I need to believe you. I know I need to believe you. Oh, then believe. Oh, well, that's easy for you to say. No, that was very easy for God to say because He's given us a gift that has within it the enablement to believe. Do you want to use it, or do you want to just leave it sit somewhere and try and get yourself to believe? Oh, I gotta believe. Did you hear that? That is wood. It is wood. It's nothing but a wooden case.
I'm not going to do that.
See, you know, when we do that, what is it? It's work. It's work. Oh, I have to believe. Wait a minute, will you stop? Look, you believe. Believe in your heart God raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Then you're a believer. You believe. You believe God's able to do that? Yeah, I do. Well, then you also must believe that He's enabled you to believe. Mm-hmm. Says He's given us the measure. He's given to each man the measure of faith. So it's just a matter of the proportion that you desire to use. The proportion of faith. You know, do we want to continue to walk by our flesh? Conduct ourselves by our flesh, or do we want to conduct ourselves according to the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, use what God has given to us so that we can have life and peace? That's what it comes down to. You know, people beat themselves up all the time. Well, I just can't seem to believe. Maybe so, but what are you confessing? See, we have to get past all of that the smoke and mirrors of the flesh and get down to the truth and just accept the truth. There's no excuses. God's leveled the playing field. He's enabled each and every one of us. What is it that we pray for? What is it that we desire? What is it that we need? If you're having a little trouble, get with one other person you pray and know that you have the things that you prayed for. Know that. And if you need a little boost, which most of us do, then operate the manifestation of faith. You know what a great way to, at least for me, in my mind and in my understanding about the manifestation of faith? Whenever I know I need to believe. Now, there's nothing going to happen unless I believe. So I know I need to believe. Someone comes to me to minister. Okay, what do I got to do? I have to believe. Yeah, they have to believe and I have to believe. We both have to believe. And then two of you agree and it... Isn't it interesting how that works, eh? So, I, in my mind and in my heart, say, okay, I know I have this manifestation. I know I have the manifestation of faith. Why do I know it? Well, because right this second I can speak in tongues if I want to. Ah, oh, okay, yeah. So now I believe. Just as simple as that. As simple as, okay, now I speak in tongues. Oh, okay, now I believe. And therefore, minister healing. Receive what I need to know from God. That's easy. It's simple because God's there. If you need to receive something from God by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, God's, He's not in the restroom. You don't have to wait on Him. He's there with you. He's not, you know, busy with someone else. He's there with you. And you begin and you do it. And that's why verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we're debtors. We're debtors to what? Not to the flesh. Not to the flesh. But we're debtors to live not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, we just choose to follow God. We choose to follow everything that His Word says we are, everything that His Word says we can do, everything that His Word says we can do for others. We choose to follow that. We choose to walk according to that. That doesn't make us monks. It doesn't make us priests. You know, where we have to now turn our collars around, or we got to walk around the streets of our community in our robe. It just means that we walk as sons and daughters of the Most High God. You have no problem in being who you are in the flesh. Why do we have such a problem being who we are in the Spirit? Who you are in the Spirit is so much greater and is so much more important to those around you than who you are in the flesh. So walk according to that and see great deliverance in your life and in those around you. And the Word of God will move because of that. God will do incredible things if we just say, okay, we make a choice. It's like in Exodus 30 where Moses got them together and said, look at all the things God has done for you. And look at all the cursings that He will bring on you if you don't follow Him. And it's very simple. So why don't you just choose life? Choose life. We need to choose life because it's up to us. It's our choice. Are we sons of God or are we sons of our mom and dad? We're sons of God. So let's live that way. Let's be blessed. Let's be happy. Let's be powerful. And let's remember that the things that we speak If they are the word of God, they shall truly come to pass. No doubt about it. All right? So, Father, thanks for your blessings. Thanks for the way you continue to work mightily in our lives as we look to you and recognize that we are your righteous children. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy, and having brought all these things to pass for us. We're grateful, God, for the privileges that we have as your children and for the great, great power that we can walk in. Thank you, Father, for how simple you've made it for us to receive answers and to see that great deliverance you've called us to. That life that is more than abundant and that is at complete peace with you. Thanks, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Amen.